We're taking up that part of the Haggadah, Rabbi Gamliel HaYomer. Rabbi Gamliel said, whoever did not say these three things on Pesach did not fulfill his obligation. Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. It's not just reciting the words, because he then goes on with a paragraph explaining the significance of each one of the three. So there's two interpretations as to which obligation he doesn't fulfill. The first one, the one which makes the most common sense, so to speak, is that he didn't fulfill his obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the central theme of the evening. Meaning to say that there are different ways and forms in which he fulfills the mitzvah of Sipur, through telling over the story, the narrative, through quoting, through studying the texts and their interpretations, and so forth. Now he's adding another thing, that it has to be, the story has to be told in conjunction with an explanation of the mitzvos of the evening. Studying the mitzvos and understanding the reasons, that too is a form of sipur, and by which your understanding of the events that took place will be enhanced. So basically, if he didn't say these three things, he's lacking in one of the components of sipur. That's the standard interpretation. However, there's another interpretation of the Ramban, I believe, that he's not referring to the mitzvah of Sipur, but he's referring to the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. We don't have Pesach today. So Matzah and Morah. That is that if he failed to recite these ideas, he'd be lacking his kiyum of Matzah or Morah. And of course the question is, why? In all the other mitzvahs that we perform, as long as you perform the mitzvah, all right, let's assume you had Kavana. It's a machlokas whether you need kavana. Let's assume he had kavana. He had kavana to do the mitzvah. He didn't stop and give an explanation as to why he's doing the mitzvah. As we said, for example, when you go into the sukkah, it's enough that you have intention. I want to do that mitzvah. So even if you don't stop and think about the purposes, what the ideas are, you still fulfill the mitzvah. Obviously, it's beneficial to do so. But here we have a new concept that if a person didn't stop and enunciate the ideas related to matzah, he's lacking in his fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. Why so? Telling the ideas connected to sukkahs is good, but it's not a kiyum in the mitzvah of sukkah itself. Your maisa ha-mitzvah of dira b'sukkah is complete without it. What he's saying over here is that the maisa ha-mitzvah of matzah is not complete without reciting this information. It's been incorporated into the actual mitzvah itself. A nice thought is being suggested. We're just going to review it for whatever it's worth, so to speak. That is to say that matzah is basically all year long you have matzah. But that's not really halachic matzah. It's just a cracker, a wafer, whatever you want to call it. A certain type of a bread, unleavened bread. And moror is out there, the bitter herb, whatever. It's bitter, a horseradish.
It's a condiment.
Condiment or some kind of romaine lettuce. Different opinions as to what you can use. So these are ordinary foods that exist out there. But what renders it, what gives it the status of being matzah? Well, for example, the eating of moror. You're just eating another vegetable. What renders it into an achila of moror is the awareness of how this relates to the whole phenomena of what took place in Mitzrayim. That's what's being suggested. That if a person just eats it, so what did he do? Now, on a technical level, it's true. On a technical level, let's be clear. If a person sat down, he missed that part of why we eat the morah, but he knows that we're eating morah now and it's a mitzvah to do so, on a technical level he would be yotzei. Okay? But the idea, the concept of morah has been incorporated into the very performance of the mitzvah, as opposed to in the case of sukkah, you have the maisa mitzvah, and then you have the philosophy of the mitzvah. So there's the two separate areas. Of course, the reason for doing the maisa mitzvah is so that a person should become involved in the philosophy of the mitzvah. That's true. But they're two distinct areas, such that you did the mitzvah properly, you fulfilled the mitzvah. Now, to what extent you get involved and talk about the ideas, that's something else. That's the purpose. As a result of doing the mitzvot, the ideas that are associated will be perpetuated. But it's not incorporated into the very performance. However, what he's saying over here, according to the Ramban, is that you can't have the complete performance. The very performance of the mitzvah of achila is lacking unless the person is cognizant of how this fits into the story. Of how it's not the relationship between the Maisa mitzvah and the ideas associated with it is different. The ideas associated are attached to the very performance of the mitzvah itself, as opposed to a situation where it's separate. You have the Maisa mitzvah, then you have the philosophy of the mitzvah. They're two distinct areas. According to this view, the Maisa mitzvah is lacking unless the activity of the mitzvah also expresses the ideas of enslavement and cheros. That's the whole theme of the Laila, and therefore your Maisa mitzvah is lacking unless you pronounce these three things. I would say that from a philosophical standpoint, this night is the night in which all the whole idea is to establish the foundations, to transmit the foundations of Yahadus. That's the whole essence of the Laila. And because the events that took place in the Mitzrayim form the foundations for the Torah, that's what the Ramban says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avodim. This is the foundation of the whole system. That's why you have to transmit it from one generation to the next. So everything on this night has to have a certain level of yediyah attached to it. The mitzvos that we do on this night have to also have that objective. Have to have the objective of yediyah. So that, because this is the foundation. So there's a difference once the foundation is established, so there's many, many mitzvos. Then you have the system. You have the Maisa mitzvah, and then you have the philosophy of the mitzvah. But apparently the mitzvos on this night all have to have that kiyum. All have to contribute to that kiyum. That the Gavra emerges as a Ben Chorin. He emerges as a free person. Through the performance of these mitzvos. So that's a philosophical reason, I'd say. To explain why it's not enough to just be involved in the technical performance of a mitzvah. But rather the performance of the mitzvah itself must contain an expression of the themes. So the person has to be cognizant of what he's doing. The idea of just technical performance without significance would be inappropriate at this time, because the entire objective of this night is for the person to, that's what you see, he has to view himself. What's the Bechol Darvador Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo? He has to emerge as a different type of a Gavra. So everything that we do on this night has to affect the Gavra. That's why, as soon as we're finished with this Haggadah, you go right into Hallel, to praise, Hodayah. Because the objective of everything you do is to recognize how it applies to you. How this applies to you. So if you don't recognize how it applies to you, you're just going through technical performances, it's not affecting you, so then you're missing the whole point of the evening, which is to establish the foundations, to effectuate a change in the Gavra, that he has to view himself as a liberated Gavra and have a whole new relationship to the system of the Masorah. Now, once the system is established, look, then we go by technical factors. The basic rule governing the other mitzvos becomes technical. Of course, then you have the technical performance, and then you have the philosophy of the mitzvah, and they're two separate areas. The idea of Eliyahu, as it appears in the Haggadah, where people have a kosher Eliyahu and things of that sort, the customs relating to that, is based on the idea that we say Hallel at the Seder. But there are two recitations of Hallel. There's part one, which we say at the conclusion of the Haggadah, at the end. That's before the meal. After we say, and look at the flow. After saying these three things, explaining the ideas associated with the mitzvos, then we say, B'chol Dover Dor. This is another obligation. This shows you that the mitzvah of Sipur, by the way, is different than other mitzvos. Behold over there chayiv adam liros asatzmo, kilu hu yotzim Mitzrayim. In every generation, a person is obligated to see it as though he left Egypt. So you see, well, what does that mean? That means that there's a kiyum to the mitzvah of Sipur. That the how does he see it? As a result of going through the Sipur, he emerges as a different kind of a person. He has to relate it to him. It's as though he was there and he was freed. That's a kiyum in the Gavra. As it says, "Vigadol levin chavayamahu." Barvurza as Hashem li Pitsesi Mitzrayim. There's the phenomenon of li. It's as though I left Egypt. Lo asavasein b'lvad gal Hakadosh Baruch Hu. God did not just redeem our fathers. Ela afosanu gal imam, but He redeemed us with them. Shanem aviosanu hotzi misham. Laman havi osanu. Los es lanu es aras Hashem shemal avasein. Here you see that idea. That the entire idea of the miracles that occurred to the Jews in Egypt was for a purpose. And the purpose was to create a special kind of a people that would be the people that would live according to the Torah, inherit the land, and establish a certain kind of a society. Laman haviyosanu, in order to bring us, to give us this land. So this is the foundation. And if a person did not make that step, make that connection to himself, and he doesn't view it as though he was taken out, so then he's lacking, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. So now you can see the flow of ideas. You have Sipur. Sipur goes to an explanation, concludes with, let's just take the standard interpretation for our purposes. Must conclude with an explanation of the mitzvos. That makes perfect sense now. Because what was the whole purpose of the Sipur? To establish a system. What's the essence of the system? The performance of mitzvos. Mitzvos which have reasons attached to them, which is the Derech HaChaim. So that's the connecting link. As a result, because how does it connect to you? Oh, because you're no different in terms of the mitzvos. Because you have mitzvos, you live by the system of mitzvos. Once you recognize that you live by the system of mitzvos, so then God, without that event, I wouldn't have mitzvos. So I view it as though God took me out. So that's why l'ficha anachna chayav lahodos. That's why you have to give praise to God. Why do you have to give praise to God? Because God took you out of Egypt. Because you view yourself as someone who would have been a slave in Egypt. Basically, that means, for all intents and purposes, that you wouldn't have Torah. You'd be living your life as an ordinary person without Torah. And God redeemed you to give you the mitzvos, and therefore you have to give Shevach and Hodiah. That's why we're Chayev, Lahodos, Lahalo, Lashabeach, Lafar, etc. Now it becomes a personal thing. L'misha asalav osenu vilanu. Now it becomes to our fathers and us. It's not just our fathers. It's not the study of a historical event. It's the study of an event which pertains to us. It's my event. Es kolanisim aela hotzim me'av tacheres miyagam simcha, and so on and so forth. V'nomu l'fon of shira chadasha halleluka. Then we say hallel. So then you say the first two paragraphs of hallel.
How can you break it up? How do we break it up?
It would appear that the Hallel over here is not a separate idea of Hallel. In fact, the minhag is to say Hallel on that night, based on a pasuk. Not everybody does it. Basically, it became the minhag of the Sephardim. But we do it here in the yeshiva too, to say Hallel in shul, after Ma'ariv. Because there's a separate kedusha on that night that warrants that a person should say Hallel. Then he's saying Hallel in the framework of Hallel. Okay? Here, because many people ask that question, but why do you have to say it in shul? You're going to say it at the Seder. The answer is that when you say it at the Seder, it's not Hallel per se. It's Hallel as a part, as a component of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's being brought in over here because the mitzvah is not Hallel. The mitzvah is really Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Except if you understand how it unfolds, that Sipur has to eventuate in connecting it to yourself, and then to be someone who's Meshabeach, who gives Hodaya, so then he says Hallel. But it's not a mitzvah of Hallel b'fnei Atzmusa. So it's just Prakim, it's just certain chapters of Hallel. And you, because that's enough to fulfill the Chi of Hodaya. The idea of Eliyahu is connected to the second half of the Haggadah. The second half of the Haggadah, meaning the last two Kosos. The first one is Birkas HaMazon. And then we say Hallel. The second Hallel of the evening. Now that second Hallel, what is it connected to? It's connected to the another theme which is related to Sipur, which is Geula. And that is that the whole idea of the evening is Geula, that God was Goel, redeemed us from Mitzrayim. However, the Geula is not complete, because we're still in a different kind of an enslavement. Even though we have the Torah and the mitzvot, but we're in exile, we're in Golos, and we're not living according to the Torah in the appropriate way. So the Jews are, so to speak, we'll use that word, unredeemed, so to speak. And thus, we have the concept of the ultimate redemption, which is Mashiach, which is the ultimate Geula. So on this night, we have to affirm our belief, our conviction, just like God redeemed us from Mitzrayim, so too there will be the ultimate Geula. Because in a sense, we're lacking in terms of Geula. So to affirm that, we don't just affirm it, but we actually say Hallel. Hallel means for us it's a reality. It's something, you can't say Hallel until something happens that you're praising God for. Here, we're saying Hallel because we're affirming that it's a reality. Because God gave us the Torah, and God communicated to us that there will be the Geula, the ultimate Geula. So that's the idea, that the saying of Hallel at the end of the Haggadah is really related to the idea of Geula. We're giving praise to Hashem for being the Goel, and the Goel encompasses the first Geula from Mitzrayim and the ultimate Geula. Now, the idea of Eliyahu is because there's Minhagim, there's different, not Minhagim, there's different traditions, so to speak. The Rambam mentions it, because we don't know, this is an important idea, we don't know exactly the unfolding of the Mashiach. That's a very important concept. And unfortunately, you have big, big mistakes when people try to get involved in predicting when he's going to come and how he's going to come and who's going to be the Mashiach, all of these things, which are completely hidden from us. So the Rambam mentions that there are different traditions among the Chachamim, but then none of them is 100%, so we don't know for sure. But he mentions, for example, there are those who say that before the advent of Mashiach, there'll be a Navi will come to prepare the way. And some say it will be Eliyahu HaNavi, that idea. So the idea, it's not an absolute phenomenon, though. It's not that we know for sure. So therefore, you have the custom of Eliyahu. That's the trans, because Eliyahu represents the idea of the Geula HaSida. But I think it's important that the significance that it has for me is to remind us of the fact that we really don't know. By because it's not a vadai that Eliyahu will return. It's a possibility. It's a suggestion. In making this reference, you're calling to mind the true idea of the Mashiach, that a person should have a sense, a concept of the idea of the Mashiach, but also the appropriate attitude one should have, and that one should realize that we have a lack of absolute knowledge in the area, and should avoid all this type of this fantasy mechanism which causes people to imagine that this one's the Mashiach, which is a tremendously dangerous thing which misleads people. So that's, in a general sense, where Eliyahu finds himself, finds his way into the evening.